Blog Talk Radio.
Special guest with me today, Miss Beverly Rockamore, Adrian Rockamore, and I'm sorry I didn't write the rest down. Adrian got to help me out there. Grover Reed, Michael Callahan, and we're trying to get Joshua Smith on. Together we are everyday people. How's y'all doing out there? Everybody okay?
Yep, we're good.
Yes, sir.
You good?
We're good.
Okay. We're going to we have an hour.
Rock and roll.
We're going to rock and roll, and we're going to rock and roll all the way to Loveland tomorrow on 71st and Bennett. Loveland tomorrow is on 71st and Bennett at 11 a.m. sharp. We are celebrating an honorary street naming for legendary Chicago coach Robert Rockamore. I'm excited
about it.
And we're going to hear our special guest. We have family here, and we have players. We're gonna start with the players first, and we'll start with Brother Grover Reed. Man, you know, when you look back over the days and think about this legendary coach, Brother Rock, man, what comes to mind? Number one, and number two, what did he instill in you in that time that you still use to this day?
What comes to mind? Sweat, blood, and tears. That was the best. I met Rock when I was 13 years old. Didn't know anything about organized sports, and he showed me the way. He opened that door for me. So, in that area, 13 years old, I'm still, you know, those are formative years. And he instilled in me some discipline. He showed me discipline the hard way.
Our times have changed, huh?
Oh, boy. We need more. We need those times to be, you know, present right now. I think a lot of these kids wouldn't be as wayward as they are if they had somebody in their life like Rock. Even though his message back then probably wouldn't fly too well now, but he might still make them fly. He might figure out a way. Because he was very instrumental in a lot of people's lives.
I never played for Rock, but I know of Rock because Anthony Thomas and Lamont Hall was in my classroom in 1970 in seventh grade. And they would always talk about Rock, and I went to see them at the Y one day. The conference watched them play, and I watched Rock, and I saw that different side of him. Give us that. They had somewhere along the line. You saw a soft side. Did you see a soft side somewhere in between that?
Say that again.
I'm saying, did you see a soft side of Rock during that time, during the disciplinary times?
He was never really so strict that you didn't know he cared. You knew that he cared.
Right.
Because, you know, he's traveling up and down the street in his car, in his station wagon, picking up strays. Guys are standing on the corner today, ask for change, that type of thing. If you was doing that and he rolled past, he going to stop and he going to have a conversation with you. And if you say the wrong thing, he going to throw you in the truck, he going to throw you in the car, and you're going to be in a basketball court before you know it.
Wow. Okay, Michael Callahan, man, you want to follow up on that? What we all think very highly of Rock, for some of the same reasons, you know, some have more direct personal reasons. What is it about the coach that really made you want to go into putting up this honorary street sign in his name?
Boy. I grew up with all these guys. We grew up together and we live, some of us live close together and some, you know, a little further away. But Rock touched each and every one of these guys' life. And even though I just really scrimmaged, I tried out and I didn't stick and stay. But I always stayed close to my friends who played for him. And I just saw the impact that he made on them. And later on, as I got an opportunity as an adult to be involved with the Comets organization, because even in his later years, he was still coaching children. And as well as, you know, it was a tag team because it was him and Bear. You know, he could not have done all the work he did without having a helpmate like Bear. They housed people. They housed people. I mean, you know, helped raise other families. That's what impacted me. That really impacted me a lot. And, you know, that's why we're doing what we're doing today, you know, with the engaging the youth. They must be engaged. We cannot judge them so harshly. They don't have the same leaders that we had. They just don't.
Yeah.
And going forward, I believe it's each and every one of our duty, with a little bit of the Rock that we got in us, to do the same as he did.
Let me just say, for Joshua Smith, if he can call us in at 319-527-6098 in particular, and anybody wants to give us a call and show your love and support, 319-527-6098. We do have one caller, but before we take a call, we want to go to Adrian. Are you still with us?
Yes.
Hey, what is it like to you to see this admiration for your dad? I mean, just the love that just knowing that the protection he had around him. These are not just his players. These guys would have done all kinds of anything they could have done to protect him and you guys. I mean, when you hear that about your dad and your mom, How does that feel to you? I know it's
got to
feel good, but I just want to hear your words.
It just warms my heart. I grew up with the guys. My father did not discriminate from girls to boys. Okay, we all have played paid the same price. He and not only did they house him, they fed him, they clothed him. My father's been to jails to pick him up from parties.
Wow.
When their parents was looking for him, he just go, he'd call and say, where's such and such? He'd go get whoever and bring them back home to their mother or to their father. I mean, it was just something. He was a lot of leadership, what a real man is, to give and to have and to want and to function, to keep them out of trouble. It kept a lot of them out of jail, a lot of them out of trouble. So for them to work on this, it's been a couple of seasons to get this done, and it's just making me and Mommy, we are just so ecstatic. We're so happy. It's a really a great tribute, and if he was here today, I don't know if we would be able to stand him because he was the man. One thing, even when me and the guys talked, the guys were saying, well, and this is going up on Jeffrey at the outside at the playground up there on 75th and Jeffrey, 76. And,
yep.
You know, the guys were like, yeah, we had guns. I said, y'all had guns? I didn't know that. I said, my daddy didn't even believe in guns. Your father was rock. He didn't need a gun. So that's how he rolled. He did not believe in guns. He didn't believe in violence. And he just was not having it. And to instill that into whoever was around him, it made a difference. It made a dramatic difference. And to see these guys, it seemed like they were so much older than me, but they really only between 7 and 10 years older than me. But to make such an influence on them, It's just God is good. It's a true blessing. My daddy was a real man's man.
Yes, he was. And I tell you what, if I had one regret, I wish I'd asked him, Mr. Rock, would you teach me how to play basketball? Because I couldn't play with nothing. I played baseball. It would have been nice. But
he picked
but
up so many
players. Hold on, we got Josh here. We have Joshua Smith. I'm trying to get him on now. Joshua Smith, Brother Joshua, are you with us?
Hello.
What's up, Brother Josh? How you doing, man?
Well, and you?
You're on the air, brother.
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Oh, okay.
I was just going through each individual and each special guest, and I'm going to ask you since I got you on here. Now, you played for Rock. Now, when you look back during that time, I'll ask you what I asked Grover. What comes into mind? What do you think of during that time as far as how much he meant to you? And what did he give you during that time that you can still use today?
Everything that I'm doing, a matter of fact, Rock was more than just a coach. He was a father to most of us, and he really stressed. He was a character builder, and, man, matter of fact, this is a story I never really shared with many people, but it was due to the fact that I played for Rock. I as a freshman, I went out for the basketball team, and I was cut. So I didn't, matter of fact, I started going to the YMJC Youth Center on 76th and Phillips, playing for a guy, Bill Bud Green. And we played against the Comets. And after that, I left Budgie and started playing for Rock. And I'll just tell you that my talent just soared beyond belief, because as a freshman, I was going into high school. I was 5'6". I had a knee injury 2 days after Christmas that year, and the next year I went back to school. I had grew 6 or 7 inches, and I didn't even have to try out for the team. I mean, man, I could just tell you so much about Rock. Nobody else will be able to even join in the conversation.
Give me a highlight. Give me one highlight.
Um, 1997, an award-winning photographer came here from New York to do Chicago Playground Legends, and it was like eight legendary basketball players from Chicago that they targeted. It was an exhibit down at the Field Museum for 2 months, and after it left there, it toured the country, and I had called Rock and Bell to accompany me to that. And matter of fact, my organization is the name of Chicago Playground Legends, and that was the reason why I named that. But to go further than that, I was inspired by Rock to start this nonprofit organization. And it's a spinoff from the Comics Community Organization, which he started. And a lot of people think it's dead, but it's been revived through Chicago Playground Legends.
Yes.
That's right. Yes.
All right. All right. So we're going to, I'm going to say once again, for anybody who just came in, just listen online, you can hear the show anywhere in the world on the internet. Tomorrow, we're going to Loveland, 71st and Bennett, 11 a.m. sharp, for the unveiling of the honorary street name for our legendary coach, Brother Robert Wackamore. Miss Beverly Wackamore.
Yes, sir.
First lady. The first lady.
Yes.
I mean, what is that to hear all this love coming at Brother Rock? And I know you've heard it for years, but we're going into the ceremony tomorrow where you can send it and you can see your husband's name. Everybody, what you feel?
Well, I'll tell you, my mother-in-law said would always fuss about him. Dealing with coaching the boys and going here, and we had to buy new cars every 3 years because they tore up the station wagons. And so I get tired of her always saying, asking me, well, how can you put up with him? I told her one day, I put up with him because he is trying to teach the young boys how to be men.
Yes.
And that character is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And we need, that's the kind of man he was. And I can tell you, they ate here, they slept here. When their parents put them out, they came here. We never turned them away. He would talk to them and talk to them. So now you have to apologize to your parents because what you think is wrong is not, they trying to help you get grown. So, you know, even with my own kids, you know, he was always there.
Yes.
No matter how much he had to do. And he worked 3 jobs.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
And after he got off from work on that third job, he would go to the gym. And all I had to do when the kids didn't do what I wanted to do, I said, well, that's okay because he's coming home. Don't do what I need to do. He was coming home. And everybody be looking at me like, she crazy. He is coming home, believe me. And they figured out, well, if we don't, because he would really get angry if I said, well, you know, I told him not to do so-and-so or to do this or do that. They didn't want to do it. And they was like, I know she didn't tell him on us.
When he came home at 3 a.m. from that job, he woke you up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. So we have let's take a couple of calls and we'll come back. We'll come back to us. We got a couple of calls. One has been waiting the last 4 digits on the phone is 8 and a 3 and a 9 on the 4. Caller on 8394. Are you with us?
Yo, Keith, it's Jimmy. How you doing, man?
Jimmy, what's going on, brother? How you doing, man? Chiming in. Okay, Jimmy's the coach. Yeah, Jimmy, Jimmy's a co-host on the We Are Everyday People show. He's chiming in with us. Jimmy, did you just chime in or you wanted to make a comment?
I don't have the faintest idea what's going on, man, but I'm loving what y'all talking about. It sounds like it's a bunch of like a bunch of togetherness, man. I'm gonna listen. Yes.
Okay, I'll be talking with you, brother. All right.
Cool. I'm staying here. I'll be in the studio.
Okay. We have another caller with I should have recognized your phone, Jimmy. I'm a little embarrassed about that. That's okay. What do we have? Jimmy, you were 4578, right, Jim?
No, I was 8394.
Mm-hmm. 8394. Okay, we have 4578. 4578. Are you with us? Call the last four digits. 4578. Are you with us? Okay, we're gonna have to make a move.
That sounds like my wife's number. She tried to listen. 2, 4, 5.
Okay. I'm going to we'll put it back on the hold then. Okay, we'll go back to Brother Grover, man. You played a lot, man. I know you got some highlights. Give me a highlight, man. Give me something to stay down, you know.
I can give you a couple, but I'm gonna piggyback on what's happening in the house. Beverly's house, where she's housing all of these young teenagers. Wayward from home, wayward from school, wayward from the job, whatever the case may be. And she's putting the fear of God in them that Rockers are gonna come home. Now, I never was in the house when that happened. I ain't get that part. But if what happened in the gym transferred over to the house, I know it was some meat smoking.
Yeah.
I know it was some meat smoking in that house. Up in the gym, he would have us, that's the discipline part. Today it would be considered corporal punishment.
Yep.
Today it would be considered corporate punishment. But then it was like, showing that you cared. She wasn't going to have you do no stupid stuff. You had to do it the way he was teaching it. Whether it was right or wrong, you had to do it his way because that's his time, it's his gym. You know, he's pouring into you, and you don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bunch of he did not spare the rod, I'll put it like that. He did not believe in sparing the rod. He made sure you got the point. He made sure you understood the assignment. That was the disciplinary part, the discipline part. And here's a life lesson that I didn't even know that he was teaching me at that time, and it came to mind years later. And that was perseverance. Keep going. We used to go on these jobs for training. He's training us. So we run from our gym, 71st and Constance, the YMCA, straight down Constance, jump over the park fence, Jackson Park fence, and continue running to the Field Museum on 57th and Lakeshore Drive.
Mm-hmm.
That's from 71st and Constance to 57th and Lakeshore Drive. That's got to be at least a mile and a half to 2 miles one way.
Mm-hmm.
We start jogging from the Y, jump over the fence, and keep going to the museum nonstop. Now, if you stop, if you cramp up or whatever, you just get left. You're going to keep going. And he'll pick you up. He'll pick you up on the return back. On coming back, you can catch up.
Yeah.
But we did that 2 times a week, if not more. And you got to the point where you was able to make that run all the way there and all the way back without any issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the no pain, no gain thing popped in my head. If you don't run, you run through this pain, and you just keep at it. And that's what I didn't realize I was picking up on until way later in my adult years. He taught me how to keep going. He taught me how to keep at it.
I'm going to try for this caller one more time. We have a caller with the last four digits of 4578. If you are the caller with the last four digits, 4578, speak to us. Are you there? I guess 4, 5, 7, 8 just listening in. That's okay. Listen, I'm glad to have listeners. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's okay, my wife, Keith. They're trying to support
me. Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, Miss Reed, how you doing, Miss Reed? I hope you're enjoying the show. Michael Callahan.
No, that's
Miss Callahan.
That's Miss Callahan. Listen.
Yeah, that's Mike's
Ms.
wife.
I'm getting the voices mixed up. I'm sorry, Miss Callahan. Sorry, Miss Callahan. Okay, now Mr. Callahan, you may not have played, but I know that you know of something that sticks out, some kind of highlight, even if it's from hearsay or from what you've seen. Share something with us that you can.
Oh well, I do know. I was there. I seen Rock go out there and do something that he didn't tell you to do. He just point to you. I would say he was an example of walk softly and carry a big stick. He ain't do a whole lot of shouting and hollering at you. You know, he might raise, get your attention, but then what he would do, you go out there and do something that he ain't tell you to do, didn't pass that ball, took too many shots, didn't go get the rebound. He gonna tell you, he gonna motion you to come there, hit you dead in your chest, sit down on the bench. and that's kind of like one of the things. I had a disciplinarian at home. My father was kind of like that, and that maybe that was one of the reasons why I said I'm probably gonna pass on this here, because I got one at home already. But I tell you, I really like the work that he did. Like I said, the fruits of the labor. And he also stressed education. You're going to go to school and get an education. And he also stressed that if you follow this, if you follow what I'm doing, he said, I can guarantee you, you're going to get a 4-year ride to college.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents
mm-hmm.
not going to have to pay. You're going to get a scholarship. And just about all of the guys that did got scholarships, and they got a degree. Because he said, you might not go to the pros, but you're definitely going to know, you're going to have that piece of paper where you can make a good living for yourself and your family. So, like I said, he stressed responsibility. He stressed discipline. And he didn't like to lose, neither. Now, I don't care what he said. He didn't really like to lose. I heard that the guys had to walk home sometimes. Now, I didn't witness that, but I heard it so many times. I know that it's not a myth. It's fact. As the youngsters say, not facts.
Yep, you downstate one time, please. Well, let me give you an example. We went downstate, and so one person I will not name asked, could they use the car to go and just see, you know, go around the town and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, downstate, you know it's prejudice. So about 11:30, 12 o'clock, the phone rings. And the desk clerk said, Mr. Rocky Moore, the boys are trying to sneak a girl in the hotel. He said, okay. So he started looking for them. And as each room he went to, they would move her to the next one. He said, oh, hold on. There was one boy, Reggie. Josh, did Reggie hurt his arm? Or what did Reggie hurt? Do you remember? Reggie got hurt. So he was the only one. He said, everybody go in Reggie's room. He went room to room. Finally, he got to one room. He went in the bathroom. And the little young lady that was there, she slipped it. And the shower curtain moved. So he said, young lady, you need to go home, because after this one, there's 20 more young men behind him. She didn't pay no attention, because the next day when we went to the – oh, he made them get up that morning, like at 6 o'clock, and it was cold as mm-hmm. I don't know what. They had to run. They mm-hmm. had to run. And that young lady, she was leading pack coming in the gym that morning to the first of my day. But he just did not play that, you know. And like he said, he would hit him in the chest. In fact, the young man that I saw today at lunch flew in from Arizona, he said, we go to the huddle, and everybody would have their arms folded around their chest. They knew it was coming.
Wow.
He did not play. And if you wanted to, and the bad thing about it, they took that punishment. You know,
yeah.
A few of them, they was mama's boys, and their mothers interfered, but most of the time, they just wanted to take the punishment.
Wow.
You know, don't let them miss a layup. You miss a layup after the game, you shot 100 layups, so you got 100 straight.
I heard about that. Brother Joshua, what was he like at a pregame talk, halftime talk? Was he a yeller? How did he come across to you? How did he talk to you? What was his demeanor during before the game preparing, and then halftime, say if you're behind?
Oh, well, he's always was cool, calm, and collected, but one thing I could say, I know a lot of people got punched. You didn't get punched in the chest unless you did something wrong or repeatedly did it. Well, no, you didn't get to repeatedly do it. If you did it once, you was going to get it. But
that's right.
As we sit here and talk, I can honestly say, Rock never hit me. So I ain't going to say I did everything like I was supposed to. But, oh, man, I used to, them punches that he would get those guys, you would feel it if you were in the huddle. And another thing, to piggyback on what Bev was saying, tearing up them station wagons. Now, we would be doing wrong, shooting dice, pitching pennies.
But oh, yeah.
Little did Rock know, when he came through the neighborhood, we knew his car because he had a hole in the And when we heard that sound, we would take out. Because if he caught you doing wrong, wherever he caught you, he was going to check you right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep,
wow.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So now, I'm curious about now, Adrian.
Yes.
Rocky Moore Rucker. I got it right. Adrian Rocky Moore Rucker. Okay. What was Dad like doing? I know he had to have quiet time. Did he? Just have a humbling time, or he just would he be focused on the game or upcoming game or the team, or what was he like during his quiet, humble times?
I mean, he just stayed humble. It was about our life was basketball. I played volleyball. He came to my games also. He coached my brother. Our life was basketball. That's how we grew up, basketball. Mama worked. He worked. When we went with Mama, he took me and my brother. We were always together. We was up in the Y. My brother might have been practicing with the guys. I was sitting on the side. And, you know, we were a huge family, all the guys. We were family. And that's how he always was. He was never any different.
Mm-hmm.
We're
still family.
First Lady?
Yeah.
The First Lady. So, follow up on that. I mean, I know that did he tend to show the, when he came home from a game, would he kind of just let go and just chill, or could you just, or did he talk about it all the time? I know you're saying you're a basketball family, so that sounds like something that you all just kind of wound up with and wound down with.
Wow. He did talk about it a lot.
A lot.
But he talked about it more so if they lost a game, he would be pissed. I'm going to give you an example of one young man who we are extreme. Well, it's three of them. We're extremely proud of them. Gene Mason couldn't even chew gum and tie shoes at the same time. He took him, because she was a wrestler. He took him and he trained him. Exactly, you know, and then they became friends. And you see one, you would see the other. We at practically, I mean, Gene was in our house all the time. He came one summer to spend the night and stayed the whole summer. The kids would call me at work. Mama, when is he going home? He's eating all the food. And we always had food in our house. A lot of people didn't grow up having food that they could just go to the refrigerator and get what they want. But Gene turned out, he became a principal. He's a great, he raised his boys by himself. He just is somebody you know you'd be proud of. And then we have two brothers, Sam and Kevin. Their mother was on her deathbed, and she called me, and she said, "We need you and Rock to watch my boys. I'm not so worried about Kevin as I am Sam." Because Sam was, you know, like belligerent, you know. And I was so shocked that she had sisters and things, but she asked us to take the responsibility of helping those kids. And we did, you know, to the point that they had keys to the house. For years we never locked our doors, and then it got bad, you know. So they always had keys to the house. And Adrian's goddaughter, Kevin came in the house with the key. He said, "How did he get the key?" So it was like, all I can say is I was an only child and he was an only child, and we had a whole bunch of other people that we enjoyed. And I know, you know, the ones and gals that are on this phone now, they worked hard at this. They did not ask my assistance for anything. They did it all by themselves. And I told my kids, he said, "Usually a man, you guys need a woman to help you, but you don't let him help ask me for one thing except his history." So, you know, hey, it's a moving thing. Yeah. I appreciate it. And we just, you know, we just proud. That's all.
Mm-hmm. So
no doubt.
We got about we're going down to 21 minutes left. I only have 1 hour. I'm going to stop here. I'm going to have to upgrade to 2 hours. But usually we have take a couple of minutes, a few minutes each person, to just give a closing statement, what tomorrow means to you, and you know, just how you feel about it going into it, or whatever it is you want to say. You'll have the microphone for about 2, 3, 4 minutes. We'll start with you, Brother Grover Reed.
Before I tell you about tomorrow, I just want to backtrack on something that has already been said. But it's really missing today. It's really missing in today's society with the children going around today. The fact that he would beat on us, and not really beat, just hit, but, you know, he was disciplining us. He was disciplining us. And I think we stayed around and took it because we probably wasn't getting it at home, at least not from a man, you know. And I didn't even
– A real man.
I didn't even recognize that he was such a father figure in my life at that time. I'm just playing ball, but he's showing me how to play it the right way. He played the mind games too, and – He told me something back in the day that I hear the basketball analysts and the pundits talking about now. Being smart, the mental part of the game. Rock told us one time, he said, "When you come to the game, we all going to have on a uniform. We're going to look the same. It's going to be a white T-shirt, white pair of socks, you know, blue shorts, dark shorts, and gym shoes. You look like an army. You look uniform. When you walk in the gym, the other team see you,
and they intimidated by the fact that all of us look the same. So the game is halfway won right there. You know, he taught you how to go into the gym. You don't wear your gym shoes into the gym. You wear a different pair, put your gym shoes in a bag with a towel and soap, face towel, whatever, so you can take care of yourself after the game. That's how you carry. He showed you how to carry yourself. Somebody on the call said he built your character up. That's who he was. He was a character builder. He cared. He taught us. He was a teacher. He was a teacher across the board of life. You know, everybody didn't get the same lesson, but everybody got a lesson. And so tomorrow,
I got you.
Tomorrow when we unveil that street sign, especially at the spot where we're unveiling it, because that's where I met him, 71st and Bennett, that YMCA, it's just going to be a landmark. It's going to be a momentous occasion. And even without the street sign, he's still here. He's still in our hearts. We still carry him with us. But now we can look up and see him. Now we can look up and see and say, this is where it all started for me. You know.
Yes.
He helped me be a man than I am today.
Right,
I'm too. Sorry if I took anybody's time.
No, no, it's a lot of brothers people say the same thing you're saying, brother. We got about 18 and a half minutes, Brother Mike Callahan. Just share with us your thoughts, man. Just a closing statement.
Well, like I said, it's been a journey. It's been a journey. And it was a struggle. It was up and down. Just remember now, we had COVID in between all of this, where, you know, people, you couldn't even have much contact with people. And trying to protect your own health. But I never let it, never dropped the ball. We kept pushing the ball up the hill. And I want to thank my wife for encouraging me as well. Because sometimes I would get frustrated, you know. Because I was like, man, why are we getting so much pushback? When I said, this thing is simple. I thought, you know. And in the end, Grover and I started having somebody come with me to the alderman's office to show some strength, you know, because it's like a lot of times if you by yourself, one person, right, they just say, oh, yeah, he's just trying to do something, you know, talk. He ain't serious, right?
Yeah.
And I started bringing one, then two. Then in the end, he said, well, I want to see what kind of community support you have. I was like, got you. Thank you. Because we coming now. We coming. And we came up there like the 12 disciples.
That's right.
And Adrian, we came up there. Some came up there and left, you know, because I don't know if he was available at that time or whatever, but we showed up. And that's the good thing about numbers. When you talk about Rock taught them to play as a team. Also, teamwork. You get more out of a team than you do out of one player, you know. And so
yes,
these life lessons that Rock taught us are still, you know, we use them in our everyday walk of life. So I'm full, man. I'm really full. I'm excited, you know, but my demeanor doesn't show it. And I'm excited about tomorrow and going forth. It's not just a day. This is a movement here, because as I said, if each one of us, and we do carry a little bit of Rock, then we're going to continue on that mission, because in that area, in that community, they don't have guidance. They really don't have the guidance, and they can be
I'll
rich,
tell you, I will be
you
there
know,
I will be there. I will be there with you guys tomorrow. I'm in town.
Thank you.
We got about 15 and a half. And Brother Joshua, if you give us about 3 minutes, closing statements, brother.
I most certainly can. what to interject is that, like I mentioned, you know, my talent level grew because of Rock. And as a result of that, was a member of the state championship team, national championship team, tri-state championship team, city championship team, and Rock was always there for me. And another thing, he coached from the 50s on to the day he left here. And had the respect of city of Chicago, state of Illinois, and surrounding states too, because we went and played everywhere. All the public housing, never had no problems. You know, the Cabrini Green, Robert Taylor, the Argyle Garden, 39th Street down there. My fondest memory is he came and got me one day and told me, we were talking, come on. So he didn't tell me where we was going. So I get in the car. We go right over there in the heart of Cabrini Green. The guys from Cootie High and off the west side, you know, they knew me because we swept through there and beat everybody on the west side. So they was calling me, threatening me, telling me I better not score another basket and all this. But that only motivated me more because I said, whatever y'all going to do, you all going to have to go ahead and do it because y'all going to get the business. And we never fret or frown as one scared to go play nowhere in this town.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That's the motivating factor for me to do what I'm doing with Chicago Playground Legends. And matter of fact, my T-shirt guy just walked in the door with the T-shirts for the event tomorrow.
All right. Before we go to Adrian Rockmore Rucker and the First Lady and the 70 Rockmore, we're going to take one caller real quick. Caller, you got a couple of minutes. We want to get you in since you took the time to call. The last four digits is 0465. If you want to say something, you got it. Are you with us?
Yes, that's Grover. I got to take myself off the call.
Oh, is that Grover? Okay.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Back with us now.
I got to take off the call. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I didn't do that. Adrian?
No, I did.
You did it?
Yes.
Okay. Adrian, tomorrow we're going in. We're going to watch that cover pull out their street sign with your dad's name on there. So going into that, I imagine you'll sleep a little different tonight.
If mommy and I sleep at all. You know, when my father passed, it'll be 5 years. And before he did, he's like, just take care of your mama. So just having her in my life every day, having, oh, God, just the guys that call, that come by, that in the wintertime, they want to throw the salt, they do the snow. I mean, they truly did love my father. And I know they love my mother, but they truly did because it's not nothing that they wouldn't do. Beverly, how you doing? Do you need anything? Even though she never does, or we'll wake up and the steps are shoveled and the salt is thrown. Just stop by. If they don't get mama on the house phone, they call my cell phone, or they calling me at work. You know, what's wrong with Beverly? She ain't answering the phone. So just that alone, and just knowing how much they care for my father, there's so many of them that do it. And they've been doing it. You know, it's not the funeral, okay, but it's afterwards how we surviving. And they're making sure mommy is being well taken care of and survive. And it's anything. We've even been out the country on vacations with several of them. So I just, tomorrow, I don't know if we're going to sleep tonight, but I know tomorrow it's going to be an emotional thing. And I just can't wait. I'm just so excited. I'm overjoyed. God is so good. Ooh, and she go ahead and say it. Rock didn't go to church, but he clothed, fed, mentored, taught, all that's
yes,
in the Bible.
Yes.
He followed all of that.
Yes, he did.
That's who he was.
Yes. We'll close out with not the first lady, but our first lady, Beverly Rockamore. How are you feeling going into this? So my father, I'm concerned, it's a historic. This is a historic event. This is major.
Yes.
This is a big deal.
Yes, it is. Big deal.
I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
He's getting the honor that he deserves because of his devotion to his fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say was, we had 54 good years together.
Yes.
Uh-huh. He was the love of my life.
Yep.
And one friend of mine said, you say he was your best friend. I said, he was my best friend. I said, my mm-hmm. girlfriend is one thing, but he and I could talk about anything. And the thing right. that made me love him more was the fact that he raised my children.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever knew that they were not his.
That's
he,
right.
He, like she said, you know, he come home, he get you up in the middle of the night, you do what you're supposed to do. But
mm-hmm. he told
me this week, he said this week, she said, Mommy, you all took us every place. We did everything. And we did because, you know, our generation, our parents couldn't afford to do stuff like that. But we took our kids every place. Every
yeah.
place they wanted to go. And, you know, we didn't want them in public school, so they went to private school. Get a
yeah.
good education, you know. But, I mean, you know, life is what it is. We lost Michael to
mm-hmm.
his health. But Adrian has been here. She I tell you everything. You know, my mother's not here. My mother's, Dorothy is not here. So stop being mama. But Keith, I want to thank you for this.
Yes.
You know, it's really great. I knew how, well, I always know how these guys feel about rock. I know how, and me too, you know. So,
yes, you're welcome.
But,
absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
I'm honored to do it. And
thank you.
Once again, tomorrow, 28th of September, 71st in Bennett, 11 a.m., regular time, not CP time.
Yep.
Okay, 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. sharp. It will be the unveiling of street naming in honor of our legendary Chicago coach, Rocky Moore. I will close it out simply by saying, I'm not a religious person either, but I always say that in the name of whomever or whatever.
Yes.
And first, before I do that, I want to thank Brother Grover Reed. I want to thank Brother Michael Callahan, Brother Joshua Smith, Daughter Adrian Rocky Moore Rucker, and the First Lady, Miss Beverly Rockamore, for allowing me to do this, for being here to do it with me. Having said that, I'll say in the name of whoever or whatever is your spiritual power.
Yes.
Peace.
Yep.
And I hope to see you all tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Time is go time.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. Uh-huh. Love you guys.
You're welcome.
All right, love you.
Brother.
See you soon.
Wow, shoot from the good black.